Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to the One Board Podcast. I am Rick White, coming at you from Atlanta, Georgia, and coming from Columbus, Georgia, the mantis shrimp capital of the world. It's Ryan Gutowski. How are you, sir?
I don't even know what a mantis shrimp is.
It's a pretty awesome thing. I need you to YouTube it immediately after this episode, or during, you know, I don't care.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then buy Josiah one.
Interesting.
Important.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it like, can I cook it?
They're basically shrimp that beat the crap out of things.
Oh, I like that. Like a shrimp Rocky Balboa.
Yes. I had a student that I taught one time. I showed it to him. He's a little seventh grader. And he started a GoFundMe page to get a mantis shrimp for our classroom.
Nice.
Unbeknownst to the rest of us. And he got like some donations and we're like, you got to shut this down.
This is not legal. It's not okay.
Yeah. It's like, you got the money to buy a mantis shrimp. Don't ask other people for it.
A mantis shrimp is $10, kid. So I have no clue if that's how much it is.
It's not, but that's okay.
Okay.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man. We actually did a live stream with Chad Elkins of 25th Century Games. We played Kingswood. And so you know Chad, and you've gamed with Chad. And now we got our opportunity to game with Chad, which is super cool.
Yep, Chad's pretty awesome. Came all the way out to Columbus,
yeah,
mantis shrimp capital of the world, to hang out with you guys. Maybe he was really there for the mantis shrimp.
He came to get the mantis shrimp, but he gamed with us while his mantis shrimp were like swimming around, hanging out.
Yeah, how nice of him.
Yeah, really nice. So, yeah. But we had fun. So head over to our Facebook page if you want to see Kingswood, a new game from 25th Century Games. Henry Audubon is the creator. Tristram Rossi is the illustrator. Fantastic illustrations, beautiful stuff. Very cool. Light, family-friendly game. Check it out. So, yeah.
Sweet.
So, what you been playing?
Man, I've been playing some stuff. We had our Refuge Coffee game night this past weekend.
You need to share
weekend.
That through One Board Family Facebook page.
You know, that
we
might
need to
be
do
something
that next
we do.
Time because people ask about it. It looks like you guys are having a blast.
Oh, well, obviously. I bring the party, and
yeah,
I also bring games. And one of those games I brought was favelas. Now, Ryan, if you had to guess what a favela is, what would you
beans.
Say?
Beans. They're types of beans.
No, they are not types of beans.
I was close.
Yeah, I mean, they, not at all. They are houses that
bean
you see
houses.
In Brazil.
Houses
where they
made
just,
out of beans.
Yes, sometimes made out of beans, and they are stacked on top of each other, and they're super colorful,
bean
and
apartments.
They're very Brazilian, and so this game, have you played Number 9, sir?
I have. I like Number 9.
Yeah, so it's kind of like Number 9 meets Biblios. So you've got, start with a starter board. Of favelas, and on your turn, before you play three rounds at the beginning of the round, you roll dice that are the five colors of the favelas, and those set the point values that those are going to be worth at the end of the round. And then you've got another die, a clear one, that you roll that is the bonus for the people that get all five colors present in their favela. So on your turn, you take these tiles in the center of the table, most of them are two favelas connected to each other, and you place it on top of some of the favelas that are already on your board. They have to stay on the same level, so you can't have like a tilty favela, you know, building codes and such. And what you're trying to do, whenever you match, like if I put a yellow favela on top of another yellow favela, I flip that die for yellow up one or down one.
Okay.
And at the end of the round, the person that has the most of a color gets the points for that particular color. And so you're trying to kind of find the balance of what is everybody else going for? What am I going to be going for? What's got a lot of points? What should I bring the points down for that my opponents might be going for? And all that stuff. A pretty simple game once you get started. And not a lot of... I think it's a good warm-up game because there's not a lot of thinking involved. Though, you know... It's subject to analysis paralysis, I guess, if that's something that you really struggle with. But it went by fairly quickly. I think maybe just like two turns longer than you would want, because at certain points you're just like, I want it to end so I can score my points. These other ones are just kind of getting in the way.
Yeah.
But we had fun. I enjoyed it.
Nice. Very cool. Sounds good. And it has nothing to do with beans, which is fine. Because it actually helps me. I have a bean phobia. I just didn't want to tell you about. We had played Bonanza that one time, and lots of trauma there.
So, yeah, I apologize for that.
All
yeah.
good. I'm just glad Favelas is not about beans.
Yeah, like it's right now it's like $28. I would not probably recommend it at that price point. The game okay. components are a little too simple for that. Also, worst box that's ever been made.
Even worse than Sushi Go Party?
No, okay. Second worst box that's ever been made because you just end up having to throw all the tiles in. And it's not even like an... It would be better if it was like an empty box, but it's like got a cardboard insert that's just two little slightly raised yeah. sides that are completely useless. It doesn't do anything.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Hate it.
Fun times. I got to play Sushi Roll, which is the latest in the Sushi Go family of games from Game Right. Bob is a roll and write fiend, as we all know. He's expressed it on this podcast where he's in a 12-step program. We're trying to get him some help. He's seeing a doctor about it. And Sushi Roll is about rolling the sushi dice, which are very cool. I will tell you, I'm very, very impressed with the components of Sushi Roll. The dice are very nicely engraved. They look like they're going to stand up pretty well. Different colors. You've got pink and green and yellow and white, I believe. There's a couple different colors. But you've got these little conveyor belts around the table. And so you roll your hand of dice, and then you put them on the conveyor belt, and then you choose one of your dice to place on your private board. And then you get to move the conveyor belt to the next person, either right or left, I think, depending on what rule you go. We were moving them to the left all the time. Mm-hmm. So you move your conveyor belt with the rest of them. Then the person picks up that hand of dice and they re-roll it, and then they put them back on the conveyor belt. So what's happening is, you know the odds. You kind of see the odds on the dice. So like a green die will give you wasabi or... I'm trying to think what's on the green die. I think it's wasabi, menus, or chopsticks. So they give you a couple different things. But then the red die are just maki rolls. So you know the amount of possible maki rolls that are at the table and whether or not you should start collecting them. But you don't know what you're going to roll when you get that hand of dice. And so you've got some different things. You've got menus, which I believe allow you to re-roll, and chopsticks, which allow you to steal, that basically swapping dice with another person after you guys have rolled when it comes around to your turn. It's cool. It's not difficult. It feels just like another iteration of Sushi Go. I would say if you're a big fan of Sushi Go, this is definitely worth buying. I think we're going to purchase it. It was fun enough that I could see playing two games of that after dinner or something like that, because it does feel different enough, but it's also familiar. You know, I could easily see teaching a new gamer Sushi Roll, because it's very family friendly. It's really cute. You're working a lot with the odds of like what you could possibly roll. They've got these little, I don't know what the, they look like, I don't know, the little scoring tokens basically give you, they look like snails. I'm trying to remember what they are. They look like seashells or something. But anyway, you've got these scoring tokens, so you keep score by at the end of a round. You actually get like a 5 point or a 1 point or whatever, however many. And you're collecting these tokens to score your points. And you play just like Sushi Go or Sushi Go Party. You play three rounds and then determine the winner. So it's really cool. I like it. I don't think it has the flexibility of Sushi Go Party, but I think it's good. So,
is the box better?
I actually didn't really look at the box. It comes with a really nice bag. It's got a bag with all the dice in it, and then you select out. I think for a three-player game, we were selecting seven dice. So mm-hmm. We draw seven dice, and the dice are really nice. The components were really, really solid. So
yeah.
I was happy with that. So
I'm going to need a better report on the box next time, because we all know.
Yeah, Sushi Go Party was a pretty terrible box. So yeah.
Yeah,
but yeah,
it sounds like we're so picky and board gamey snobs, but guys, like, for real, that's a bad box.
We're really not, but it is a terrible box. I don't think I understood how to put the cards into the box for the first like five times I packed it up, and then
then you realize it's just throw them in there,
just chuck them in there. It doesn't even matter at this point. So, yep.
Well, speaking of color cards, that's a transition.
These are colored dice, so your transition's broken.
Well, I'll work on it. We played Coloretto. Have you ever played any Coloretto or Zuloretto or all the
Eddos?
I know
of them, but I've heard of Zuloretto a lot.
Yeah, so Coloretto was released back in 2003, so been around for a bit. It can drive now. And so Coloretto is a game where there are, I think, 8 different color cards, and it might be 7, but basically they have chameleons on them. And then there are some wild chameleons. There's a few other cards, but basically there is a number of stacks in the middle of the table equal to the number of players. And on your turn, you draw a card and you put it in one of those stacks. And either you do that or you take the cards that are in those stacks, in one of the stacks. So the stacks can only get up to 3 cards. So yeah. Eventually you're kind of forced to take cards. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to get as many of a set of cards as you can. But the trick is that you only want 3 colors to score you points. Only 3 of them are going to get you any points. And the points that you get kind of increase as you go along. So like 4 of the same colors were 10, but 5 of the same colors were 15. And so you want to try to get as many of just 3 colors, because any of the other colors are going to cause you to lose points. And so it becomes kind of this game of, you know, trying to manipulate the stacks so that you will get the stuff that you want and prevent the other players from getting what they want. So maybe you see that there's a yellow chameleon out there, and I know the player to my left really wants yellow chameleons, but I've got a pink chameleon in my hand. Well, maybe I put it in the same stack, so I force that player to say, do I want more yellow cards and have to risk taking the negative points for that pink chameleon? I don't know. And so you're playing. It's simple enough tactics for you to be able to play your own game while also messing up the game for other people.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
And so, yes, yeah, simple card game. I got it for super cheap, and I think it's one that I think you can go out there and get it at tons of different places,
yeah.
And you'll find it, and I think you'll enjoy it. I mean, it's not going to change your life, but it's if you want to sit and not think much, yeah, it's $10 on Amazon.
Very
then
cool.
you'll have a good time with it.
Yeah, I've heard of it over the years. I mean, it's a classic card game at this point, so that's really cool. Awesome.
Indeed.
Well, we have an interview for you on this episode. We have Mike Primo on the episode from Path of Play. Rick, do you know much about Path of Play?
I do not, and I'm excited to hear the interview.
Yeah, so we're having him on the show because Path of Play is actually going to have a sensory-friendly gaming room this year at Origins up in Columbus, Ohio in June. That's super exciting because they're partnering with HABA and Kids Table Board Gaming, who we love, and they're going to be putting this game room together for kids who just need a break from all the loud noises and all that's going on, and they're going to be able to go into this room and just enjoy their time gaming with other people, and it's an inclusive space. It's really cool. So Mike Primo is going to tell us all about it on the other side of this break. I'm here with Mike Primo, the founder of Path of Play. How are you doing today, Mike?
I am great, man, and it's so good to talk to you again.
Definitely, man. So Path of Play, tell us a little about what that is. It's been something that since day one I've known about because we were in contact very early on, but some of our listeners may not know what Path of Play is.
Well, I roped you in early.
Yeah.
You put your hand up and said, I develop websites, and You were done like dinner. So Path of Play is a organization that reaches out to families living with autism and other special needs. And our aim is to create experiences for them that portray inclusive game spaces. In fact, I would say portray is probably not even the right word. We exercise inclusive game spaces for them where they feel welcome and understood. And it's become an unbelievable project. It's gone to places that I would not have expected. And it started when, you know, our own son, Luke, who's 5 years old now, he's going to be six in October. And he was diagnosed with autism when he was about 3.5. And the day that happened, my wife and I were so confused. We didn't have a clue what the journey ahead was going to be like. And maybe by the grace of God, we just discovered that he was taking to my passions of play, be it board games, video games, pinball. And we just wondered if helping him grow through those avenues would be a therapeutic outlet for him. And when we saw evidence of that, my wife and I decided to invite other families to our home once a month to share this experience. And we didn't only invite families living with autism or whatever other special need they might have had. We invited families that weren't impacted by this. And what came of it was this amazing environment of inclusion and understanding and acceptance. And families loved it. And we've been doing it for 2 years. We just started extending outside of our basement locally. We just recently got invited by a pinball distribution center called Player One Amusements, and they heard about our project and said, look, like, bring families to a place where there's 30 pinball machines and a golf game and a bowling game and foosball and all sorts of all those things that you see in movie theaters or Dave and Buster's. This was the distribution center that sells those arcade and pinball machines, and they put everything on free play about a month ago.
That's awesome.
It was unbelievable, Ryan. And here we are today, 2 years in the making, and we just got our first invitation to a board game convention, that being Origins in Columbus, Ohio, and we couldn't be more appreciative of the invite.
Yeah.
They heard about the project. Marie Poole reached out to me, and she just said to me, we've been talking about this project every day that you've been doing. I had no idea. And they were adamant to have us there in June to exercise the same thing we've been doing in our basement for 2 years.
That's awesome. Yeah, we're having you on the show because it's exciting. We saw the newsletter from Origins. We're super excited to be able to go back to Origins this summer. And we see this newsletter across their email box that has Path of Play listed. You guys are going to have the Path of Play Room, which is going to be a space for inclusive gaming and making sure that people who may have sensory issues with being at a convention have a place and a space to play, and that they feel welcome. And that's incredible.
You know, a lot of conventions, they have their family room.
Yeah.
But to see an event like this, go beyond that and say, we're going to be specific to the autism realm and ensure that there's a safe, enjoyable space that is sensory friendly, as you said. That's the key to it all. And you would think that pinball machines would be the worst thing for a child on the spectrum, but in many cases, it does wonders for them. In fact, a lot of people probably don't know, but the 2016 World Pinball Champion is Robert Gagneau, who's autistic and he's from Canada, and he won that championship. If people should check out a documentary called Pinball Wizard, or actually, sorry, not Pinball Wizard, Wizard Mode.
Okay,
that's the Who song, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, which I pinball know that players song. Can't stand. They can't stand that song, but it's called Wizard Mode, and
yeah.
It's all about his journey. About finding social acceptance and independence and the struggles that can come along with autism, but also to paint a picture and help people realize that autism is not always a dark place. It's just a matter of them trying to find the thing that they lean on the most and using that to find a social environment that they can be comfortable in.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, their shell is a little bit harder. But once you come to their world and let them know that you're accepting them, they come back to your world and it just makes it so much easier for them. And that's why, you know, as long as you're picking family-friendly themes for pinball machines and keeping things on low volume, you can even control light power. it's a very, very positive experiences for the experience for these kids, and we've had nothing but incredible response. We do have a room in our home. When we've been doing it in our home, we set up a small tent with a quiet light, and we put it in a quiet room in case there's a child that needs to remove themselves. But that's honestly never happened, and it's just been such an incredible journey. And to have this opportunity, I cannot imagine it growing from this point. We're very, very excited about what's possible down the road.
Well, that's really cool. I'm excited to see these conventions. I hear about things like OrcaCon and things like that, where these conventions have started to understand that not everybody is built the same. Not everybody who comes to these conventions can handle the same tolerance of noise and lights and everything being so chaotic. I know our first time at Origins just this past last June, my wife is very much an introvert, and Aaron was there, and Friday night it just became a lot for her to take in, and so she knew her breaking point, and she sat down and she said, "Ryan, I need to go. Like, it's a little much." And so it was, you know, understanding that people are built that way. People are built differently. And so understanding that and catering to make sure that they have an option at these conventions is very, very exciting for me as a dad, and for people who are trying to experience these conventions for their very first time.
I think we're very lucky now, Ryan, that we are looking at you know, these challenges that they have, because, you know, people like your wife, they never had these support systems in place when they were younger. I've talked to adults who say to me, "I actually think I'm on the spectrum, but nobody ever diagnosed me."
Yes.
You know, that's not to say that your wife is. What I'm saying is that there are challenges that we have even as adults that we never had the opportunity to have them addressed or have a support system in place to deal with the things that cause discomforts for us. Mm-hmm. And I'm really thankful that, you know, better late than never, that we're paying a little bit more attention to it so that we can help these kids put their best foot forward later on in life, at least, right?
Yeah. We have a number of family friends of ours who found out that they were on the spectrum later in life after their childhood. You know, it's very different, because I think nowadays children have a lot more resources. But when you get to be an adult, like, what resources are there for you to kind of understand this? I think there have been some good books recently over the years that have helped a lot of people understand being on the spectrum and understanding kind of where they fit in and how they can different coping skills. But there aren't a lot of resources as far as, like, outside of books and just support groups and things like that. And so, you know,
we actually had our first adult attend one of these family gaming events.
Yeah.
And he spoke very openly about that, because a lot of government-driven systems, either they decide or they assume that once you're 18, you've, I guess, figured it all out and you're fine. But that's really not always the case. As you mentioned, there's a lot of adults just realizing that, hey, I may have been on the spectrum this whole entire time, but now they have families and they have this. I specifically remember a gentleman from Arizona speaking with me about this, and he told me time and time again that when he was feeling overwhelmed, you either had to cope with it and find a way to sustain the things that were overwhelming, or you just ran away in a corner, mm-hmm. and the kids would just ridicule you. The teachers, you know, didn't know how to handle the situation. And now you've grown up, you know, not really being able to have any outlets growing up as a child. And, you know, for us, as far as Path of Play is concerned, we recognize that we can't solve the therapy challenge, you know, specifically in Ontario. I mean, this is the area I know best because this is where I live. But there are hundreds of thousands of families that are getting the short end of the stick because their child can't get into early intervention. And I know there are people out there who don't agree with ABA therapy. For me, it's about finding the right kind of ABA therapy. My son went from biting his arms and screaming at strangers and not being able to handle being in a restaurant for 5 minutes to being this wonderful, sweet, loving boy who now sings Beatles songs with a microphone in his hands at a birthday party because we got the right kind of ABA therapy. And it really troubles me when people are saying ABA therapy isn't safe. In fact, I don't know if you saw Origin's tweet, but the very first response came from someone who said, I would love to partake in this, but I don't feel safe because Path of Play associates themselves with someone who exercises ABA therapy. And I just thought, man, that's really unfortunate. And you know, you can't get into that social media storm. But, you know, we do the best we can, and we've recognized after 2 years that the number one thing we can do is reach out to families between day one of diagnosis and the day that they might choose to get therapy and give them a social outlet for therapy. Because, you know, for people who are interested in the stats on the chocolate bar wrapper, here's a stat. 79% of everybody on the spectrum experiences depression. Serious depression because they can't find a social outlet where they feel comfortable.
Yeah.
We can help, even if it's just once a year, three times a year for families in a city. You got to start somewhere. And the fact that we're growing, albeit slow, we're growing. And we're going to keep pushing and seeing what we can do to help these families out.
Well, I know this is going to be a huge asset to everyone going to Origins. So if you are out there and you're going to Origins in 2019, look for the Path of Playroom. Look for Mike. Look for the people that work with him. This is a great organization to get involved with and understand better. If you are one of those people who puts together gaming nights or is in charge of a gaming meetup in your city or town, I'm sure reaching out to Mike, you would be an awesome asset to helping people understand how they can build community, you know, when people come into this community and have those needs. And so, Mike, thanks for everything that you do for the community. And I look forward to actually meeting you face-to-face after almost 2.5 years meeting you face-to-face at Origins this year. So that's going to be exciting.
It is. Let me tell you the cool part about this, okay? Just really, really quickly.
Yeah.
Saturday and Sunday are the days that we're exercising the Path of Play mandates, but Thursday and Friday night, we're having beginner pinball clinics for board gamers.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, man. So everybody who's board gaming out there, and I'll tell you why this should matter, because I don't think board gamers realize just how close of cousins pinball and board gaming are. A lot of people think pinball is just flipping flippers and making the ball go off the pot bumpers and things like that. There's actually a rule set to pinball. And if you understand even just a little bit of it, you can have a pinball experience like you wouldn't have imagined. The level of engagement goes up exponentially when you know what you're shooting for and why. And we're bringing about 4 or 5 pinball folks in. There's actually a place in Columbus called Level One, and they are a pinball barcade. And we have some folks that are going to be coming from there and from Pittsburgh. And I think we're getting the 25th ranked pinball player in the world to come and give one-on-one instruction. So Thursday and Friday night, take a board game break. Come to, I believe Danny said from, she's the communications manager at Origins. I think she told me A115 is our room, and we're right across from the family game room. Wherever that is, I have no idea, but that's where you want to be on Thursday and Friday night.
Excellent. Well, we will find you. We're looking forward to hanging out, Mike. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Great to talk to you, Ryan. Thank you.
We're back. And Rick, I'm excited about going to Origins and even more excited now that we know that we're going to get to interact with some of the folks over at Path of Play. So, Rick, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find us online?
Yes, Ryan, you can follow everything that we're going to be doing at Origins and everything we're doing before that. We've got a lot of cons we're going to this summer.
Yes.
And you can find out everything at oneboardfamily.com and Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, One Board Family. We're almost up to 1,000 Instagram followers, Ryan. I'm waiting. I think they give us a medal when that happens.
Yeah, like they send it to you by mail. They need our address and stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah. So we'll make sure we get that to them. But, yeah, we've got a lot of stuff that we put on there. We've got Patreon for those of you that want to support the work that we're doing. Again, it's not so we can be big and fancy because it's really we spend a lot of money ourselves on this, but we do it because we love playing games.
Yes.
But if you want to help us out, get some of the newer games and help us to get out to Origins, you can support us on there and you can join our Slack channel where we're always talking about game deals and things like that that we think you guys will want to check out.
Yep. And until next time, we will see you at the table.
Media,
where we all
bring something
to the table.
Pull up a chair
at punchboardmedia.com.